Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. This is the broadcast for July 16th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we use the blueprint for liberty and the checks and balances that made America great. We the people have one of those great solutions at our fingertips. That is the checks and balances where we the people are in charge. We got to get it done, folks, and you got to be engaged in your liberty or you will lose it. By the way, we're still at Freedom Fest Live having a phenomenal time, hoping you are as well. If you're not, oh, man, you're missing out. But I'll tell you what, we'll do our very best to bring you the interviews, the people, the things, the places. We'll try to bring it to you the best we can remotely via the radio. I'm Sam Bushman. We are live 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. This is LibertyRoundtable.com, syndicated by the Loving Liberty Radio Network. Ladies for Liberty, gentlemen for Liberty, together we stand as a great fundamental unit of society, the family. And LovingLiberty.net has incredible talk shows and podcasts and curriculums and a whole lot more to help you and your family understand the Constitution and liberty. We got some incredible interviews coming up, and they all start now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back live to Freedom Fest. Having a fantastic time, hoping everyone else is as well. By the way, it's a faith-filled, fantastic, freedom-loving. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. And I got two incredible guests with me, Connor Boyack, one of them, Daniel Harmon, the other, TuttleTwins.com, TuttleTwins.tv. Welcome, Connor.
Thank you.
Man, I haven't had you on the radio with me for a long time,
sir. It's been a little while.
Glad you've got time for us. What do you think of Freedom Fest?
You know, I think this is my ninth year. It's always fun to be able to visit friends and, you know, plot strategies to take over the world and then leave everyone alone.
Amen to that. What I also find fascinating with Freedom Fest, at least as of recent times, is, you know what? People need to get together, buddy.
I think we've been starved for that for a long time. I think there's a lot of energy because people are sick of, you know, staying at home and feeling disconnected from other people. So, yeah, it is good to be rubbing shoulders with people.
Daniel Harmon, welcome back to you as well, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, Sam.
Do you got a quick update thought from Freedom Fest?
Just the same thing. Loving the energy of people working together to make the world more free and just love to be a part of it.
All right. I went to the Tuttle Twins TV or whatever you want to say, debut of the incredible cartoons. It was an incredible event, to say the least. Since then, what's been going on?
So we've had some tremendous audience reaction. We won three awards, Telly Awards, one for animation, online animation, one for online comedy, and another one for online education. So that was really cool to see some validation, and the Tellys aren't necessarily anything you would consider a freedom movement of any kind. They're just an award show, so that was fun. And then also we're at 8.5 stars on IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, which is cool because that's a higher score than any kids show or film that Disney has released this year.
And it's a little surprising they'd let you get that, though. Sometimes it seems like whenever freedom folks come to the table for things like that, they somehow don't give us the credit we deserve. Is that fair?
Well, we do have a few people, communists, that have got on there and given us one star without watching the show, and it does pull the score down. But, you know, it is what it is.
All right. Well, that's exciting news, if you ask me. Connor, one of the things I love about the cartoons and everything else is you've got this slapstick humor in a way, but it's not dirty. It doesn't cross that line. It's not, like, weird or awkward for parents or anything. It's fantastic. It's funny. But you've also got these subtle jokes for adults in there, too.
Our goal was to really have, I mean, I think of The Simpsons growing up. Theirs was clearly more crass, but yeah. I did watch that as a kid. And there was silly humor for the kids, and then my parents would laugh because there's the, you know, highbrow, educated humor. And so, I mean, the goal, like with the books too, the cartoon, the whole idea is a family experience. You know, it's not just kids' books. The parents are learning too. It's not just a kids' cartoon. The parents are learning too, and they're entertained by it. So we're really trying to tap into entire families so that we can elevate their family discussions, have amazing dinner conversation starters, and really have whole families talking about these concepts together.
All right, I want you guys to look at each other and decide who should answer this one. But one of the key things to the Tuttle Twins, especially cartoons and TV and the whole project, really, is in the production of the cartoons, it was really the first massive crowdfunded kind of media we've got, which was incredible because we learned a lot of that from what's it called? Angel. I'm trying to think.
Angel Studios.
Angel Studios. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. I was thinking of networks is the problem. Anyway, Angel Studios, we kind of learned that we better fund it ourselves or we're going to get hosed down by the big boys or the whatever you want to say. And so what I find fascinating is you guys kind of kick that off and hold the record. It reminds me of an NBA record. We're waiting for it to be broken by your next venture, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say so. Like, if you were to go to
if
you were to go to a Hollywood executive and say, hey, let's make a show that teaches kids about free markets, economics, entrepreneurship, the golden rule. And, like, it's not many they're going to bite off on
that,
right?
They would have laughed at you, huh?
Right. So going to the crowd and actually proving that there was a market for that to the tune of over 8,000 people that wanted to invest.
But more than just a market to watch it, though. We're willing to fund it.
That's right. Willing to fund it.
That's a different level, sir.
And in a certain amount of people, I'd say maybe as much as like 25% that were telling us, I don't even care if I make my money back. We just need this to exist so we can better the country. And, of course, we want to make their money back, and we're working towards that. But, yeah, it was incredibly encouraging to watch that happen and see how people really rallied around us in order to make us the number one crowdfunded kid show in history.
Well, what I want you to do is I want you to make the money back, but then I want you to take the money, and I want you to put it into the next venture so that it just gets bigger and better, and we create this snowball effect, Connor.
That's the goal. We're really trying to build what I call a content empire. So we've got a cartoon, we got books, a podcast, we've got a game. We're trying to build all tons of stuff so that no matter how kids like to learn or what their age is, we've got something for them. The problem that we're trying to tackle is a significant one, and our opposition is very well funded. They're very well resourced. They're very well connected. And so what we're trying to do is a very significant feat. And you're right, Sam, we do need to reinvest. We need to build new content. And so that's very much in kind of the pipeline of we want this to be like a 30-season-long cartoon, and we want to spin it off into a TuttleCon, you know, annual event and connect families together and more books and really try and blow this up.
We also want to dovetail it into kind of an entry point for greater alternative educational opportunities, right?
Yes.
I think half of our audience
involved in a bunch of other ventures like that too, right?
Well, it's interesting. Half of our audience are kind of in public, private, or charter school, and the other half are all homeschoolers. And we've seen across the country that homeschooling has basically tripled. So there's definitely a higher interest in alternative education strategies. And a lot of the parents whose kids, for whatever reason, are still in the school system, they're recognizing that that is a very substandard output, that they need to supplement in the home what their kids either are not getting in schools or they're getting counter-messaging in the schools. It's almost like they have to depropagandize their kids at home, and so they can use our resources to say, yeah, you were taught that garbage from your, you know, socialist teacher. Here's how the world really works. Let's learn together at home.
There's an unlearning component, Connor, to this. You got to unlearn the propaganda before you can kind of learn, huh?
I think that's true, but to unlearn, that's a very intentional process. What we've found too often is that parents, for a long time, especially before COVID, have assumed the best of institutions like schools and the teacher down the street. I was fine. I went to public school. I turned out fine. And so they've assumed the best. But I think COVID really opened a lot of people's eyes to the significance of the problem, to how things have accelerated with activism and agendas being driven through public schools. And so these parents are searching for alternatives. They are searching for wholesome content. They want to know that when they turn on the TV for their kids, they're not being brainwashed by, you know, lefties. They don't want Netflix or even Disney Plus these days in a lot of ways. They're looking for trusted content. So whether it's the books or the cartoon, parents are busy, they're frazzled, they got a lot going on. They want trusted, you know, creators who they can say, yeah, I'm happy my kids are watching this or reading this book, because it's very hard as a parent to be in charge of everything and then also have to be kind of a content moderator for everything that your kids are consuming. They're looking for trusted partners. That's what we're trying to be.
I also noticed that a lot of parents woke up too, not even because of the COVID, not even because they kind of got a peek into what they were being taught in school when kids were, you know, online from home and all this kind of stuff. But it's really when we heard a little bit about critical race theory, or we heard a little bit about the weird sex stuff teaching going on, education happening, where parents are like, hey, I really just want to go down to my school board and talk to them about this and see if we can't, you know, make sure that it's okay. And when they get there, they're like assaulted, like you're a terrorist and the FBI is is involved in it. I think that's when Americans are kind of going, whoa, whoa, hold on. What the heck have we tapped into here?
Yeah, I think there's a fundamental question happening about who's in charge of the education of our kids.
Me, for mine.
Yeah, well, and the...
You,
the,
for yours.
The responsibility does primarily lie with the parent, as opposed to some that are saying, no, that's they shouldn't be able to make their own decisions about that. Like, that's the job of the government or the state or whatever. And a lot of people are really waking up to... The fact that they need to get involved, that they need to provide resources, because that's not going to be provided just automatically in public schools. It's not necessarily going to reflect their values. And the same thing with culture. That's not necessarily going to reflect their values. So they're looking at resources like the Tuttle Twins books and the Tuttle Twins TV show as a way to be able to really instill those values in their kids.
Connor, I want to talk about the parental feedback that you've got, because it's one thing to get feedback in a theater because it's fun and it's funny and it's all these incredible things and you're part of it. What about, though, the day-to-day from homeschoolers and from private educators and things like that? You guys must be getting a treasure trove of feedback, thus guidance for the future, right?
So I'd say it's overwhelmingly positive with a little sprinkling of negative. We have our haters out there, clearly, and
yes.
This is not just a ideologically neutral thing that we are about. We are trying to spread the ideas of liberty, and there are people who see that as a threat and therefore believe that we're just out propagandizing children. CNN came after us a few weeks ago. They published an op-ed that said the right-wing children's entertainment complex is upon us, and attacking what we were doing as this baseless response to the non-existent leftist indoctrination from their vantage point, saying there's nothing to see here. There's no leftist indoctrination, you know, of the state. So this is an ideologically driven project to teach truth, and there are people who don't want us to do that. Clearly, though, that there's a massive audience that have felt like these institutions of the school and the media and others have been assaulting the values that we have and the ideas that we believe in. And so they are almost like they're parched in the desert, and finally they get, you know, those few drops of water on the tongue. And
yeah,
it's such a relief, buddy, for these families to find us, whether the cartoon or the books, to recognize that, oh, finally someone is out there not just combating what the other side is doing, but trying to provide me as a parent the resources that will empower me to talk to my kid about, you know, objective truth and about the way the world works. And so for those parents, we're a lifesaver. It's a lifeline. It's a shield against the assault that their kids are getting from you know, textbooks and teachers and TikTok and all the rest. And so, you know, again, there are people who don't like what we're doing out there. But that, you know, we love our haters because they help us sell even more books and get more people to watch the cartoon.
But you know what I find interesting? Back in the day when the Southern Poverty Law Center was tacking everybody in, and it, I don't know if you know this, but back in the day they said that Liberty News Radio, which is the radio network that I own, is the biggest hate group in the state of Utah.
That's great.
And they didn't do their research because it was only me. I was a single owner of the whole thing. I was myself the biggest hater in the state. It's just kind of comical. But the reason I bring this up is it almost becomes a badge of honor to those of us who are in the know and who understand. And as the new media continues to take center stage, and as we continue to redefine this thing and their gatekeeping days are over, it almost becomes a badge of honor for you guys when you get written up in rags like you mentioned, saying, oh, yeah, there's nothing here, there's nothing to it. Blah, blah, blah. Americans are going, that's a buzzword to say we know that they're over the target, right?
That's absolutely right, and especially with CNN. I mean, they helped us directly sell over 100,000 books.
Yeah, good work. Keep it up, CNN. And, come on.
Yeah, so to that I say, does anyone have any contacts at MSNBC? We'd love to get them to attack us as well.
Yeah, the New York Times was hanging out with us this whole week. This whole week, too. I'm just saying it's starting to become a badge of honor, and as our network gets bigger and bigger, and our ability to raise money and to collaborate and to work together and to be aware of what each other's doing and stuff like that, it's just fueling it. It's just getting bigger and bigger. Daniel, what do you see that kind of dovetailing into? Obviously, the continuation of Tuttle Twins, as Connor highlighted, but what else are you guys working on?
Well, just more of the animated series. So we're finishing up season one this year. So we have episodes 10, 11, and 12 that release in September, October, and November.
Yeah.
And episodes
this year.
Yes. And episodes 1 through 9 are all available on the Angel app. Our distributor is Angel Studios, known for The Chosen. And
by the way, I'm watching The Chosen right now.
Yes.
That is the most killer series ever.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a fan as well.
Good. You feel the spirit, though. You feel that it's the most real to life. You can just feel it when you watch it. The most real to life that we can get as humans, right? We don't know the story. We weren't there, but we can try to recreate it from the Bible, recreate it through records. And anyway, I'm just telling you guys have done a stellar job of making it as real as we can get.
Well, thank you. The credit on that one goes to Dallas Jenkins and Daryl Leaves on that. But yeah, the series is very good. And Tuttle Twins is available episodes 1 through 9 now for free on the Angel app. It's also on YouTube if people want to look it up there. So That's really cool, and we're just loving the audience reaction.
Now, what are we doing to make sure funding keeps rolling? Because I appreciate it being some places, and that's wonderful, but you know, we want to make sure the funding keeps rolling in, because look, folks, that's the key to the next venture, right?
Yep. So cartoons are traditionally 70% funded by merchandising. So if you look at properties like Toy Story and Cars, the movies end up just kind of being ads for all the revenue that's being driven by the merchandising.
Sure.
And so we've got things like T-shirts, and we've got a line of graphic novels or comic books that are associated with each of the episodes that will be released. And we're going to have things like stuffed animals and action figures and that kind of thing that are coming down the line. But also, kind of like the business model with The Chosen, people can watch Tuttle Twins for free, and then they are invited to pay it forward for others to be able to watch it as well. And so
the reason I'm highlighting that, folks, is this is where, though, the rubber meets the road. This is where, you know what, don't just ignore that invitation, because when you do, you're making it harder for the next stuff to come forward, people.
Yes.
And when you do fund it, you're making sure that that happens.
Yep. You vote with your dollars, right? That's our number one vote that we have. And so as people love the show, they watch it, and they're like, oh, that's great. They can pay it forward for the next people to watch as well. And our mission with the show is to reach 100 million kids with the ideas of freedom.
And if we just get a dollar or two per kid, we're going on.
That's the way it works, exactly.
All right. Connor, what about you? You got your hand in so many things that you're involved in. I see your political stuff in the state of Utah to try to help move the needle towards liberty in that regard. You're working on these projects, too. You're working on Tuttle Twins. You got your hands full, buddy.
Yeah. In fact, our think tank in Utah is now spreading across the country.
Bring it on.
We got, you know, several dozen bills that passed all over the country this year based on our work. So now we're helping legislators in other states do what we have done in Utah. So that's been fantastic. Most of my creative energies, though, is being sunk into the Tuttle Twins right now. We just launched last week a new American history book, for example, 240-page storybook that tells the stories and, more importantly, the ideas of the past. We all share that quote, those who don't learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. But we do a horrible job at that. All the social studies books that kids are using in school today, they are not teaching kids to learn from the past. They are simply teaching kids about the past, and that disempowers them. It means that they don't know how to draw from our history and apply those lessons to our modern world. They feel like, that was 250 years ago. How is that relevant today? So our new book, we've got curriculum and an audiobook and all kinds of stuff, is meant to help kids, yes, learn what happened in early America, but more importantly, extract from those events the ideas, the philosophies, the values that relate to our modern world. And so that book just launched last week. After 2.5 years of working on it, it feels good to have it out in the world.
All right. Now, you guys have that at your booth, right?
It's at our booth and at TuttleTwins.com/history.
And where's the booth? What number are you?
We are number 324 and 325, right next to the bookstore.
All right, got a double booth right there, and you got people talking about it and everything else. Are you guys having some of your stuff in the film section or whatever? I don't know. I can't remember what it's called.
The Anthem.
Anthem, yeah.
Yeah, we did a Libertas one, so not Tuttle Twins. We did a little satirical 15-minute video play off of Parks and Rec. We called it Parks and Heck. And so we recreated that show to talk about an illegal tax that we're fighting in Utah. We actually have a case before the Utah Supreme Court where a bunch of cities are trying to illegally pass a tax by putting on people's utility bills as a line item that they don't pay attention to.
Yeah, it's just like a fee, Connor. Don't worry about that. It's just a fee.
Right. But then they bypass the you know, public hearings, the transparency, the political process. And so we have a case right now that the Supreme Court heard. We're just waiting for their ruling. And so this video was a fun little creative way of us using comedy to talk about a controversial or boring, wonky type of issue. And so we had that in the film festival.
And what usually happens is they basically pass these things. They add it as a fee on your bill. And then all of a sudden, an American, for some reason, gets looking at it and goes, what the heck's this? And somebody else goes, I don't know.
Well, it adds up, too. Right? That's the problem. It's always so incremental.
Can we stop them? I think we can. You've had success doing this in the past. That's why it's going across the nation, right?
Yeah, we've changed over 100 laws at this point. And what we found, though, and I think why what Daniel and I are working on is so critical, is that even on the policy side, if we take a step forward and get a law changed, get a law repealed, get, you know, our rights better protected, that's great. However, for every step forward, we're taking, like, you know, 43 steps back. There's a lot of problems that we're dealing with. So the issue is the culture. If the people do not support, you know, the natural rights that we have and our basic freedoms, then sure, we can convince a few legislators. But if the public is clamoring for something else, that policy reform that our think tank is doing is not going to be sustained. It's not going to be protected and supported. And so what we have to do, I share this analogy. A lot of us here at Freedom Fest, a lot of these organizations in the think tank world, we're like gardeners. We're in a big orchard full of diseased and decaying trees. These trees are old, they're gnarled, and we're out there with bucket loads of fertilizer trying to restore them to good health because we got to save the trees. The analogy, of course, is that we're out there educating adults who are well-formed in their opinions, right? It's very hard, but we need to. We're out there educating voters. We have to do that. However, any good gardener worth his salt is also focused on the seeds and the saplings, making sure that they can be spared the same fate as their elder peers. Yes, let's fertilize the old trees. Yes, let's try and restore them to good health. But my heavens, can we help the rising generation avoid the problems that we're having now? And so the investment in reaching and teaching kids that we're doing with the cartoon, that we're doing with the books, is so critical if we want to have a sustainable, you know, freedom-fighting movement that can actually make a difference far into the future.
Well, and your point's well taken. You know, a lot of us are just focusing on the liberty adult movement or whatever, and we're just getting older and older and older. And, hey, we've got to make sure that we focus on the young and the new generations. You know what? It's kind of like the guy that says, you're our future, son, right?
I mean, it's silly, but it's true.
All right. Daniel, final comments?
Yeah, we just love the support. We love it when people get on YouTube and watch the videos and leave comments, and they get on, download the Angel app and watch it there. And I think the world's ready for this, and that's very much being proven out in the numbers of books being sold, the number of people coming to watch the show. And there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope, and playing the long game, I think, is the way to go. Is being able to change the hearts and minds of the kids so that 10 years from now, as they enter colleges and as they enter voting booths and as they start to get involved in their community, they have a much better foundation of the values that really carried them forward and help the cause of freedom.
Connor, one last point. As we re-entrench as Americans and kind of wake up and realize what's going on, the liberals, the communists, the socialists, the left, whatever term you want to use for these people, the woke, the, I don't know, whatever, they're starting to panic, which tells me that we are making gains that they know can change the game. And so that's why they're panicking. We just need to add to the pressure.
They're panicking, but they're powerful. And the point that I try and convey to a lot of parents is you will lose every battle that you don't know you're fighting. We are in a mind war. We are in a mind war. We are in an ideological battlefield. Our children are at ground zero for being bombarded with messages to take them in a different direction with different ideas, values, and philosophies. And if you as a parent send your kid out in the world or school or on YouTube or TikTok or whatever to start embracing ideas and being bombarded by these messages without first empowering them with a foundational understanding of what you believe and what the truth is, you're sending your children into battle without armor, let alone weaponry. So for us, for me, Tuttle Twins is that shield, is that sword to say, let's empower our kids. Let's teach them truth before we send them out into the world to, like a sponge, absorb what they're hearing. Let's empower them first. Let's have those dinner family conversations about the ideas of truth and freedom. That's what the Tuttle Twins mission is all about.
Daniel, my brother, you get that last word, sir.
Well, just go to TuttleTwins.tv then and go watch the show for free. And if you love it, you can pay it forward. And even if you don't, you can just watch it for free, enjoy it, and hopefully your kids will like it as well.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
President Joe Biden is meeting with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
I guess I will see the king and the crown prince, but that's not the meeting I'm going to. They'll be part of a much larger meeting.
This comes despite saying he'd only meet with his father. The change of plans also come just 2 years after Biden vowed to make the Middle Eastern kingdom a, quote, pariah. In 2020, Biden stated that the Saudi regime was to blame for the 2018 murder of a Washington Post columnist. Even though the prince denied being involved in the killing, U.S. intelligence was adamant that the Saudi ruler had ordered the hit at its consulate in Turkey. This is USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
Former President Donald Trump says he's already made a decision about whether to run again in 2024. In an interview with New York Magazine, Trump said his, quote, big decision will be whether he announces before or after November's midterm elections. There's going to be some changes with United Healthcare options.
Health insurance company United Healthcare announced during an earnings call Friday, starting next year, United Health will stop charging a copay to its fully insured members for several critical medicines, including insulin. Red-hot inflation has led many patients to ration life-saving drugs and become sicker as a result. CEO Andrew Witty added, "This all depends upon manufacturers restraining and lowering the list price of their products, which is the fundamental driver of costs." End quote. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Freedom Fest continues. Wow. A lot going on, I'll tell you that right now. Everybody is gearing up for the next day of the fantastic Freedom Fest. And, man, there's people everywhere. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Our press conference at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, in addition to the Freedom Fest, man, it's been a week of liberty, baby. I'll tell you that right now. Our next guest, Shauna Cox, freedom fighter extraordinaire. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, ma'am.
Thank you, Sam. It's good to be here. Beautiful morning.
So catch us up. What the heck's going on with you, Shauna?
Oh, trouble, you know. I'm trying.
For bureaucrats and thugs and thieves and professional do-gooders.
That's right. That's right.
Not trouble for our side when Shauna's in the house. So catch me up, though. What do you got going on? I know you had some lawsuits before going on, and they were bugging you and harassing you with all kinds of stuff still, right?
They are. We're still trying to prove that common law is the way to go, that we have freedom and liberty through the common law of the people, the grand jury. Common law grand juries that are standing up to help the people like they're supposed to.
This is a case you wonder if we can win, not because we're not right, but because they're just so corrupt.
That's correct.
I don't know that they'll even, let me give you an example. You prove a point legally and they'll just act like it doesn't exist. Or they'll just lie and cover it up and then they'll subpoena this and that and they'll prevent you from turning over records, or they'll prevent you from due process and getting information. They won't let you get information. They won't let you subpoena. They won't let you call your own witnesses. They won't let you represent yourself. I mean, it just goes, I don't even know how to articulate it, because it just goes on and on and on and on of the I don't, what do you call it? Just criminal, just flat out in your face criminal activity.
Correct. I spoke to a live sitting judge who told me that it doesn't matter what you do, if, what you call yourself. He just calls us extremists, and that they just are told to ignore you. And
what?
To just go ahead and do whatever they want to do. I asked him, don't you have to follow the Supreme Court Supreme Court rulings? And he said, well, yes and no.
What?
It depends on what year that they made the ruling.
What are you talking about?
That's what I said. I said, are you kidding? You're making kings out of judges. So it doesn't matter whichever judge made the last ruling. It becomes law.
So I had Ken Cromar on the radio the other day. Dear friend, by the way. I back him 1,000%, ladies and gentlemen. And what happened to him is he was trying to file documents at the court. And he was literally at the courthouse. We played this audio on the radio, and he was talking to the clerk there. And the conversation we aired on the radio between Ken and the clerk. And Ken's like, hey, I'd like to file these documents. She's like, I'm not willing to receive your documents. He's like, look, by the law, I have the right to file these documents. She goes, I'm just not doing it. The judge said not to. I'm not doing it. He said, listen, ma'am, by law, we need to do that. She said, I don't care. I'm not doing it. And he said, why? Anyway, the bottom line is it came out that the problem with Ken is he's a vexatious litigant. Now, what in the hell is a vexatious litigant? And so what I said is, wait a minute, a vexatious litigant, if you go look it up, is you file all kind of frivolous lawsuits. That's what the definition of, quote, vexatious litigant is supposed to be. The problem is Ken didn't file a bunch of lawsuits. They were the ones that went after him. He was minding his own, living his life, just doing his own thing as a filmmaker. And they decided to be a vexatious government against Ken. And then they call him a vexatious litigant. And this is the kind of, you can't make this stuff up, Shauna.
I believe you. I mean, it was crazy for them to come and steal his house without even having a trial, without anything, and saying it was the IRS.
Then the IRS said, well, we don't even really have an issue with Ken. This is dismissed.
That's right.
But now all the other 15, I don't know what you want to call it, court cases continue.
Right. And they're trying to make him guilty of going into his own home and calling him a criminal that he broke and entered.
He stole.
Oh, man. And stole his own property.
He stole. And so the same kind of stuff is happening to you, though, really, right?
Well, yes and no. I'm trying to prove another point altogether, but the same thing happens to people over and over, and I see this. And so my whole thing is to try to help the people, the common man who is getting speeding tickets down the road for nothing because they become nothing but the officers that are picking them up have no right to do that. They are not even following the law. They don't know the Constitution. And they are arresting people and charging them. So they're nothing more than Pharisees that stop and steal your money. They hide and wait and then attack you just for money. And so that's kind of where my battle's been going. But I did stand with Ken, and I love Ken. He is trying so hard to fight this battle, and we went there to help him.
I stand with Ken. I went there to help him, too. I was able to get some audio from some radio shows that I had booked Ken on, including my own, that he could try to submit as evidence of his intentions and where he stands and what he's trying to do to defend himself against, in my opinion, these robbers and thieves. But I find it interesting, though, that all of us are dealing with the same issue, which is they just simply set aside the law. And what it reminds me of is King George and the Declaration of Independence, Shauna, where we hear that they're just eating out our substance, where they're just all these, I don't know what you want to call them, but they're harassing the people with these little nickel and dime this and that. Oh, you $200 for this. Oh, you $100 for that. Oh, you this. Oh, you that. So my son is driving down the road in his car. I'm going to give you this comparison because it really highlights the point. He's driving down the road in his car, and his wheel falls off.
Yeah.
And he almost wrecked. His wheel fell off. And his wheel fell off and hit another car.
Oh.
Which is horrible. We all agree that it's horrible. But look, my son had no evidence or no prior information that anything like that would happen.
Yeah, those are called accidents.
Yes, they are, to normal people.
Right.
Okay, but what happened is they charged my son. Now, I'm going to tell you in a second, but I get that he owes the other people that had their car hit innocently. I mean, even though it's an accident, somebody owes, and it would be my son or his insurance. I get all that.
Yes.
But they literally sent a thing to my son that said, hey, you need to appear in court. You are driving a dangerous vehicle, and you are going to be under arrest if you don't appear.
Every single citation they have says that at least three times.
And I thought, have you lost your marbles? My son didn't know that his car was unsafe or he wouldn't have been driving it. Okay, he's not stupid. And so, but now they're saying, you know, you are going to be under arrest if you don't appear in court.
Yes.
But what on earth is this all about, though? It's like he's the criminal now. He's the enemy. And the only one that profits is the government. So he had to pay a chunk of money to avoid going to court. They said, well, you know, when you call in, they're like, well, if you pay this money, if you pay this evil eat out your substance fee, then you won't need to come to court, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what speeding tickets are, all of that, because there's a law called U.S. Code Title 18 under
something. I think we all ought to speed. We all ought to get tickets, and we ought to get everybody arrested. We ought to just all get arrested intentionally.
At the same time.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Because these people are just absolutely off their rockers crazy.
I agree with you.
My son's going, my car is ruined now. I can't get to work. I got my car in the shop. I'm trying to get it fixed. I almost died. Because, you know, you're going fast on the freeway.
Yeah, so who cared about that?
Nobody.
Right.
Well, I did, because I'm his dad, and he did, of course.
Oh, yeah. And I did.
Of course. Jeez. But these people are just like, oh, my gosh, you were driving an unsafe vehicle. You are subject to arrest now. And I'm thinking, my poor son has been through this gnarly ordeal. The poor other people got their car hit. I mean, I feel bad for them, too. Don't misunderstand me. But it was not intentional. He didn't know that his car would have any problem like that. It was a fairly newer vehicle. That he had purchased and everything. And I'm telling you, it was nobody's fault. I don't know how it happened. It's just these are freak kind of things that go down. But to then say he is subject to arrest and fine?
Exactly. Exactly. That's it. So let me tell you, that's what happened down by St. George. And I had the same issue where a pile of officers were pulled over a car on a bridge and right in the middle of rush hour. And all of them had blocked off two lanes, so it all of a sudden shoved everybody over into the left lane. When I got shoved into the left lane, I'm trying to move over, and I did not have time to stop in the car in front of me, and I hit them. Well, that's okay. We have insurance because of those reasons. So my insurance paid to fix my car and to fix their car, and then they give you a citation. A citation for what? Now they want me to pay them a few hundred dollars. What did they lose? Nothing. I said, when you can prove that I did anything, that it wasn't their officer's fault that I hit that car from behind, then I'll pay you. Oh, but that doesn't matter.
Well, and the other question, too, is if you didn't have insurance, or if you somehow were liable and you wouldn't pay the other party, or you couldn't make amends for your accident, your mistake, or whatever else. Okay, I get that. But there's none of that in this case, in either case we're talking about.
Right. They didn't, because you can be self-insured. You can make the deal with the person that you injured to bring them home.
Of course.
You don't have. Why? Who is forcing you to make you do that? That's totally unconstitutional. It's illegal. I mean, unlawful. Let's say unlawful.
Yeah, because I don't know about legal. What does that even mean?
Yeah, legal.
Murdering babies was legal until just recently, right?
That's right, right. So legal is not the word. So lawful. But I'm just saying they're making up their own laws and getting away with it.
Well, they're making up their own pretend legislation is what they're really doing.
Sure.
Right? Because they're not really laws. Let's be clear.
That's right. And so it's going to be judges that are making
edicts from on high.
Yeah, that's what you could call it. They're kings. They become a king. And when do we stop all this?
They're almost worse than kings, because when it's a king, you know it's a king. This guy acts like he's just the arbiter of truth and justice.
Right. A tyrant.
He's not even acting like he's a king, like I'm above you. He's acting like, I'm just your humble servant here, Shauna, and I'm going to temper mercy and justice. And it's just like, oh, you thug from the pit of hell. What is up with you? Right?
Oh, yes. But let me tell you. So in this case that I'm working on, in my own case in my county, I have the same issue. And I have ticked off that judge so bad that he actually did a bench trial on me under protest.
Whoa.
To run over the top of me, and now he's trying to, I mean, he was shaking so hard, and I had court watchers in the courtroom. They were just having a come apart, and he said, you cannot film this. You cannot. Everybody put down your phones. And we said, wait, don't we have witnesses that they can record what's happening in the court? We have recorders.
Yeah, we're the only ones that get a document. We're the victors, and we write the history. Don't you know that, Shauna? Yeah. Haven't you learned that yet?
And don't put anything on those records, because you can't, because we're just going to strike them and delete them off of the records, so you can't have
Yeah, that. You're a vexious person.
Yes. It's insane.
You're probably a sovereign citizen, huh? See, they make up all these words, and they wordsmith them into their own definitions, right?
Yes, it's just crazy.
All right, what do we do about this, though? Because you know what? We can fight them, we can try, but they just simply, because they print the money, they just run us all out of money and run us all out of time and run us all out of resources, right?
That's correct. And so what I'm thinking is people need to come to these places like the Freedom Fest for the people who really get it. Learn it. Learn this, learn your rights, and learn the rule of law. The rule of law, that people don't understand, is the Magna Carta, which they swore an oath to. Anybody that is an attorney has a BAR license, British Accredited Registry.
Yeah, and then we bring that up, and they try to say, oh, that's not a real thing. All the bar means is it's this wall between the average Joe that sits in court and the special people that are up front that get to make all the decisions. It's just this kind of divider there. That's all it really means.
Oh, yes, right. Because they, but they do know, because I've been to the federal court.
I know they know.
They know. And so they took an oath to that bar, and they don't care about the Constitution, and they won't let us bring a Constitution into the federal courtrooms or anything.
And so the leaders know, the elites know, but a lot of the attorneys, though, swear to the bar out of pure ignorance, though, and they don't know, right?
Some of them. Some of them do not, because all they're taught in law school now is case law. Case law is an opinion that goes on and on, so that's why they make them into kings. So whatever yeah,
and,
that
and that's why, by the way, when Roe got overturned, or when whatever you want to say, Roe
versus Wade, yeah,
got overturned, they're just simply saying, hey, we're rendering a different opinion back to the original opinion, so to speak. We're undoing what the bad opinion was, right?
Right. Do we give them all that authority? They're supposed to decide if it's constitutional or not.
Well, and they're not supposed to be rendering opinions based on their own whims.
Sure.
They're supposed to be looking at the law and saying, look, we're supposed to interpret the intent of the founders. The law on the books, we're supposed to strictly adhere to the purpose. And if there needs to be clarification, rather than just rendering whatever they want, they need to simply say, we can't render this. Congress has got to clarify. In other words, we need to be going back and forth with the checks and balances here, not just having these thugs on high just render whatever the heck they want, whatever they're feeling today.
That's correct. So now, like you said, he receives a citation. Your son gets the citation. Three times in those citations, it warns you that if you don't do this, it's under threat of imprisonment.
Yeah,
so
it's insanity.
They're going to arrest you. Look, a speeding ticket wasn't even an arrestable offense, but they put a warrant out for me because I was speeding. How is that? Okay, that's not even a crime. So how do you get these? And your poor son, he's a victim, and he has the right to pay the restitution and make the person whole and be free. So
absolutely.
Why do they have the right to come and extort money from him? Because that's all it is, extortion, coercion, extortion, and threats. And it's wrong. And so even following their own laws, so the rule of law is the Magna Carta and the Constitution and the laws which are in pursuance thereof.
And I call it intentional, vicious intimidation.
Well,
because that's what we're talking about, right?
It's true. And that's what, like you said, that's what they're doing to Ken. So they ignore the facts, and they just go after, it's a feeling. So the judge, you've upset the judge or upset an attorney, and because the bar is a brotherhood, then if you dare step on somebody's toes, then they're all against you. So they create what they call, and I've learned this from the Department of Public Safety. It started in the state of Arizona, and that Department of Public Safety was from the governor, and he created a standing army against the people. Guess who secures that state capitol? the Arizona Department of Safety, which are the highway patrols, the same thing they're doing in the state of Utah.
Which what you mean is unconstitutional law enforcement. Because
Absolutely.
We don't need those bureaucrats that are appointed or that are ran by other departments where there's no checks and balances. That's why the county sheriff is so vital.
Absolutely.
Okay? And what you create is this unconstitutional, dishonest, immoral overlay that then creates a battle with the sheriff. Most times the sheriff doesn't know his role, so he backs off. And then they fill the vacuum, right?
Oh, absolutely. You got it. That's how it works. And that's what we have to stand against. I mean, that's where this whole
freedom fighter
is going to, yes.
Freedom fighter extraordinaire, ladies and gentlemen, with me, at Shauna Cox. We're talking about the rule of law in America. We're talking about the moral law, though, too. Remember, laws come from God, not bureaucrats and government. And we got to understand that, you know what, when it comes to God's law, there's a moral component here. It is immoral to attack my son, who already had, I don't know what you call him. When they want to protect themselves, they call him, you know, we're not responsible for acts of God or this or that or acts of nature or whatever they write into their contracts. This is my son. He's rolling down the road in his car. He doesn't know there's anything wrong with it. There's no sounds. There's nothing weird. And all of a sudden, his wheel just falls off.
Isn't that that's
okay? So he pulls over. He's already traumatized. Then his wheel rolls and hits some other car, which now he's double traumatized. Going, oh my gosh! And the cop comes, and then they treat him like he's a criminal. Sit over here, fill this out. What was your deal? Here's your insurance. What? And then he gets it, and then they give him this thing, and we get home, and he doesn't have time to read it because he's so traumatized. He comes home, and he's an adult, by the way. So I can't even really help him because, remember, I can't help another adult either because they're just like, no, I got to talk to the person. Give me the person with the driver's license or whatever. So I can't even help, right? I can't even talk through this in a meaningful way to help him.
Oh.
And right? Because he's an adult.
Yeah.
Okay. So then he says, Dad, I'm home and he's sitting on the couch just kind of trying to unwind from this whole thing that just happened to him. And he's reading it and he goes, Dad, what do I do? They say that I'm going to be arrested. I'm like, hold on, son. Let me look at this.
Panic on top of trouble.
Okay, so now he's afraid he's going to be arrested. It turns out to be a weekend, so he can't even deal with it, can't even get answers. For days, he's just stewing in this, I don't want to say fear, because he's not a wimp or anything. I'm just saying he's kind of going,
it's trauma.
You know, and so I'm just thinking, why do we have that in America? And I'll tell you the answer. Because they have no other way to keep control of the slaves but through pure, hardcore, intentional, vicious intimidation.
And guns.
Well, they got the guns.
That's
there.
What I mean.
You shouldn't have a gun. You might do something bad. I mean, you might save somebody's life with it or something like that.
Right.
You might prevent from being raped with it or something. I mean, you might do really bad things, Shauna.
I know, but see that's... But so if people understand the law, there is a law that prevents that. And it's called U.S. Code Title 18 under Section 245B1E. Whoever, whether or not under the color of law, interferes with your travel, there is a $10,000 fine for them and 1 year in prison. And if they have a weapon, it's 10 years in prison.
Folks, I'm just telling you right now, we need to get a handle on this. And the bottom line for the solutions, ladies and gentlemen, we better pray to God Almighty hard. We better repent and keep his commandments so that he can bless us and protect us from these goons. And most importantly, my fellow Americans, one of the things that we need to do, the reason we can't succeed right now is because there's not enough of us. Okay, if there was enough of us, this would stop. If 50,000 Americans were to all of a sudden get traffic speeding tickets or I don't know what my son's violation was. I don't even know how to say.
No violation.
There was no violation. I don't even know what they even claim except for, I guess, he was intentionally endangering other people with his, whatever. If 50,000 plus Americans were to, in the courts, just say, look, we're not taking this anymore. We're not, and they were to fight it like Shauna's doing, or fight it like Ken Cromar's doing, or fight it like so many others are doing, we wouldn't be in this position because they would absolutely be overwhelmed to the point where they could not hold the slaves down.
Amen. Stand up and support those that are standing. That's what you've got to do. You got to help back them up and help those that are making these crazy crimes and turning people into criminals. You have to help them understand and educate them. Remember, Thomas Jefferson said to educate is to liberate. So if we don't educate the people as to what they're really doing, then they will continue to become these tyrants amongst the people. It's our own people. We, the people, have got to step up, teach them what laws they are actually breaking, and to hold tight to the rule of law. Know the Constitution. If you have taken an oath to the Constitution, which I find that most of them have no idea what it is, then they don't uphold it. And that's really important.
And we need to really put the pressure on, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure that we put people in place who will not take advantage and who will not turn into tyrants. Okay, there are humble people out there who will do what is right. We just got to find them, elect them, and support them. And if they stay true, back them. If they don't, replace them. Very, very simple stuff, folks. But it takes absolute eternal vigilance. Our founding fathers said, you have a republic if you can keep it. Boy, howdy, it's time for us to work on keeping it, Shauna.
That's right, because they said if we can't keep it, then the only, once we lose our freedom, the only way it's going to bring back is through bloodshed, and we don't want to go back to there. We've got to stop it, like now. We're getting out of control.
All right, a quick final tidbit with Shauna. You've been at the Freedom Fest. What have you found to be the most intriguing things? Who have you talked to? Give me your experience, will you?
Oh, it's phenomenal here, and I've been looking at the movies a lot. Because there are just some phenomenal stuff coming out, wonderful books. I can't even tell you all the names because they were so fantastic. But they are really, keep watching the marquees. The movies will be coming out. We have great comedy movies. Things are going to teach the Constitution that are helping the people learn about freedom and liberty and the law. And so I think it is, but it's done in such an awesome way. That they're doing cartoons for children, education for your kids, so they don't have to have vaccines.
Yeah, Connor Boyack and the Tuttle Twins comes to mind,
isn't
huh?
That wonderful? Yes.
Yeah. All right. Last point. I know I got an email from Ammon Bundy saying, hey, I'm running for governor, guys. I made a mistake. I got a press conference on it to let you know about it and to apologize and everything. I really commend Ammon Bundy for this because you know what? How many politicians would do that? The answer is zero. And that's why Ammon is not a politician. He's a statesman running for office. That's why I publicly endorsed him for governor of Idaho, ladies and gentlemen. But he literally humbly said, guys, I made a mistake here and I want to tell you about it. Can you give us a quick update on that?
Oh, absolutely. Ammon is probably the humblest person that I could ever think of to run for a public office and all the cost that is costing him to run is unbelievable, but
oh,
he will
sure.
not give it up. He knows that he needs to do this because if somebody doesn't stand against what's happening in Idaho, then we just become more slaves. And so he's willing and put himself out on that as a sacrificial lamb, I call him, hanging on there. But he is a very humble and righteous
man. Yeah, he certainly signed up for the whipping post, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's getting a real
But what did he have to apologize for? What did he...
They didn't say exactly something he said about Brad Little. He said that wasn't exactly correct, so he wanted to make sure he straightened
that
out.
So sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, when we speak off the cuff, statements are made, and then it's like, well, that's not exactly what I meant, or that's not exactly, I guess I misunderstood something. It's that kind of a mistake. And the reason I point that out is I'm grateful that Ammon comes to the table to admit it and to stand up as a real man would do and own it. But I also tell you that it's inconsequential and that it's circumstantial. There was no evil intention or anything else. There's no real big mistake. There's no scandal. There's none of that kind of stuff. It's just he's an honest man, and he says, you know what, I didn't have this quite right, and I want to be honest with you people and explain it all. Something lesser men would never even think of doing, Shauna.
That's true, because he is a straight-shooting man. He is honest as the day is long. And so he will tell you the way it is, and he will apologize when he's wrong.
Anyway, I wanted to get that out because I think that's really important for people to understand, who we're dealing with. The question becomes this. If Little had kind of done the similar misunderstanding or kind of misstatement or whatever that Ammon made, would Little be apologizing to Ammon?
Oh, not
I don't
on,
think so.
Not on your
right?
life.
So it just shows you who's who is the reason that I'm bringing it up. It shows you the honesty, the attention to detail,
the integrity,
the humility, the integrity of an Ammon Bundy, ladies and gentlemen. I maintain my written public endorsement of Ammon. What a great guy. What a humble servant of the people. What a statesman. Anyway, that's my only comment on that. Any final thoughts, Shauna?
Amen. I just want to say amen to that. He is absolutely, I love the man. He is a hero in America. He needs to keep standing strong, and he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Shauna Cox, freedom fighter extraordinaire. We are at Freedom Fest, and you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.